Thank you for joining us today. Our goal at the Asia Pacific Wine and Spirit Institute is to promote cultural diversity through wine education. This podcast is for wine enthusiasts, beginners, and anyone who is interested in learning more about wine and those who work in the world of wine and culture. Check out our website, www.abwazi.com, and take one of our 30 online wine and spirit courses available. If you're new to this podcast, please follow the show and subscribe if you enjoyed the content. Welcome to the Abwazi Wine Buzz Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Clinton Lee. Today's guest is what we might term a modern day gladiator who has encompassed all the inspirational aspects that one needs in order to not only be successful, but pave a way that many would also consider following. Today's guest is none other than Will Blackman. Welcome, Will.
How's it going? I'm super excited because I love your content, how it's simple, to the point, and extremely educational. And I was like, oh man, I definitely need to like hang out with this guy one time.
Well, I'm delighted that we are actually hanging out, even though it's virtually.
Yes.
Now, before I begin, you've got all this array of hardware behind you. Now, share with us a bit about the four helmets there.
Yeah, so these are the four teams I play for. I was originally drafted in 2006 with the Green Bay Packers, and then ended up playing 4 years there. Then I went to the Giants, won a Super Bowl with the New York Giants, and then end up going to Jacksonville and then to the Washington Redskins, which is now the Washington Commanders. But I will say, Dr. Lee, that I did play one game with the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
So well, I did play one game indeed.
So yes, I still have Canadian cred, street cred, if you will.
Well, that is worth its weight in gold, I'm sure.
Yeah,
worth its weight. Now,
but
Will,
it was cool. You know, I tell people like all the hardware, all that stuff is, I feel it in my joints and knees, all that stuff. So, but it was a dream. Like that right there is that was the goal. You know, I was like, you know, I wanted to do that, so it was cool.
Well, not only did you do it, but you excelled. Now, Will, you belong to an elite few, one that has won the Lombardi Trophy, or better known as the Super Bowl Trophy. This is an achievement that many can only imagine. But the Super Bowl ring, I don't know if you're wearing it now, are you?
No, you know what? It's actually in my room. I'll tell my wife to go grab it. she just got home.
Yeah. So talking about that, but the Super Bowl ring and your life in the NFL is only one chapter in your life.
Right.
Share with us your life before the NFL.
Oh, man. You know what? I was the Dr. Lee, I was the kid who was obsessed with football. Like that was it. That was all I cared about. That was all I did. But so I was born in Providence, Rhode Island. So I'm a East Coast New England boy. You know, my father's actually from New York, my mother's from Rhode Island, and I have two siblings, an older brother Leon and older sister Shannon, my brother being the oldest. And yeah, we just grew up in our house in Providence. Now I did unfortunately deal with a tragedy early in my life. I lost my mother when I was 6 years old. She had an intestinal disease, Crohn's, and then I think the surgery just didn't cooperate. So dealt with the tragedy young, And that, as far as I remember, I think immediately I signed up for football. And yeah, football was just one of those things that I was just obsessed with, the stories. I was obsessed with the history, the culture, those who paved the way for the game. My dad had all these old VHS films that I would watch. And I can remember I was 3 or 4 years old and just glued to all these films. And I just thought it was awesome. When you mentioned like gladiators and warriors, like that's how I saw those guys, you know? So it was super cool. And I just, yeah, for me, man, that was it. And then, I started playing at 6 years old and, you know, played at obviously Pop Warner, which is what we call our youth football. Mm-hmm. And then also, went to high school and then, you know, went through the, I ended up having a decorated high school career, in the United States where, you know, I was known nationally as one of the best players and, ending up getting multiple scholarships. And I ended up going to Boston College, stayed in the New England area. It was far enough away where my dad could leave me alone, but close enough if I wanted to see him. And he was able to go to all my games. So went to Boston College. I ended up majoring in English, which was, I know, trust me, trying to like balance football and also write a 20-page paper was a beast. But yeah, that's what it was for me. It was just family and football, and that was it. You know, those are the two things that I spend most of my energy on.
Now, what was inspirational in your life? I mean, during that time,
right?
Fortunately, mom wasn't around. Was it your father?
Yeah, it was for sure my father, because he not only had myself and my two siblings, we also had my grandmother, his mother, who wasn't feeling well at the time. So, you know, both parents worked. And so when my mom passed away, my father really had to take on the load. And he did not have a glamorous job. He was a correctional officer at the prison. So he would go there and deal with all those crazy personalities, you know, and it weighed on him. So at the end of the day, I had a fantastic childhood. I had a fantastic father. We had, as far as I know, we had everything we needed. And I was able to do the things I wanted to do. He supported us in any career path we wanted to go. If I wanted to go to this football camp because I thought it was going to make me better, then he would, you know, get all the money he could to make sure I went to this football camp or whatever it was. So he was definitely a huge inspiration because I understood, I don't know, I had awareness where I understood how hard he worked for us to be aware. And then also my grandfather, he passed away in 2011, but he was full of wisdom and really teaching me how to navigate this world. You know, it's all about being genuine. It's all about relationships. You know, it's all about thinking of the other person, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how good you are at your craft. Is if you don't have a good relationship with people, then it's not going to do you any good. So that's what I learned from my grandpa.
Those are truly generational treasures that not many people have. Right. Now, you know, Will, you've demonstrated athleticism, determination, and a desire with your football achievements. And these traits were with you, inside you, and the NFL honed and applied them for you.
Right.
Now, you were influenced by dad and clearly your grandparents. But what about the inspiration? Where did this come from? Because clearly it molded your character.
Yeah, I would say in terms of there's so many correlations between sports and life, you know. The biggest one that stands out is the adversity. You know, I think when people become irrational or people they change when they don't fully understand a situation, you know. And I think the more you educate yourself, the more you understand it, the more you understand that everything is a process, then the better you'll be able to overcome it. Now, obviously, it will not be easy. And I think for me, that's what pro sports did for me, or just playing sports in general, was you're gonna fail more than you're gonna succeed. You know, let's take professional baseball, for example. I mean, it's a failure sport. You know, you bat 300, you're going to the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? And those are the two things that I saw with my father and my grandfather, is they both dealt with tons of adversity, but they embraced it and turned it into, you know, turned into progress, turned into victory. And so, you know, I had this quote that I would use that was said, adversity can cause you to do two things. It can cause you to break as an individual, or it can cause you to go out and break records. You know, you have a choice when it comes to adversity, and I embrace it. And I got to the point too in my life and my career, is that the more, it sounds crazy, but the more difficult something became, the more fun I had. Because I'm like, okay, now I get to really learn about myself. You know, can I handle this situation? Am I built for this situation? Can I, you know, persevere and get through this situation? Because then that's the real win.
You know, I love the way you describe that, Will. You know, can I? Now, you're clearly a charming man, very infectious, rugged good looks.
Oh, and my gosh.
And defining intelligence. You know, certainly now that I know you're an English major, you know, they've opened doors in multiple arenas, that combination. Fox News, Sky Sports, these are some examples. Have you ever asked yourself, why me? What do you do?
You know, Dr. Lee, I just take it one day at a time. You know, those opportunities with NFL Network, with Sky Sports and Fox Sports and all these other shows, I took full advantage while I was playing. I would always give the reporter the time of day. You know, I would always give them, because I knew this part. As a player, if the reporter's asking me a question, this is my chance to create my narrative. So I will give them a thorough answer, and I will, hey, you have a job to do. I understand that. And so I was really cool to most people. I wasn't mean to, you know, you see athletes getting mad at reporters and getting irritated with them. And sure, some do ask ridiculous questions. I'm not going to deny that. And usually I just laugh at them. I try to show my sense of humor, but I developed a good relationship. And that's what I mentioned earlier, is I tried my best to be fair to everyone. And I do my best too, to not burn any bridges. I think that was the biggest thing for me too, especially, you know, in the NFL, you're going to get cut. You're going to get released from a team. You're going to get traded. You're going to lose tons of money. Everyone's not going to like you, but a lot of those decisions are business decisions. Mm-hmm. So I never took them personally, even though some of those business decisions really made me furious, but it was because this is what they thought was better for our organization. They didn't move on from me because they thought I was a bad guy. So I never took anything personal like that. So because of that, I will say I've been very, very fortunate to build those relationships. And it goes back to my father and grandfather of them. I always wonder why they had so many friends wherever we were. I'm like, how do you know this person? How do you know this person? Or how do you know this guy? Or, you know, it's when my dad was a correctional officer, we would see a guy who was just recently released from prison. He was like, hey, Mr. Blackman, you know, I was like, how do you know my, he's like, oh, your dad was, even though, you know, correctional officers could be tough, he was really cool to us and very nice to us. And so that was it for me, Dr. Lee. It was just, I was big on just that part.
The people.
It was the people. And I think that's what happened for me. It was, in terms of the inspiration, it was just them. Just be good to people and you know, and have no agenda.
So I think it's pervasive, you know, where you've just mentioned, you know, Yeah, dad was tough but fair.
Yeah, exactly.
Tough
exactly.
but fair.
Yeah.
That's very inspirational. And I glow inside when you tell me all the treasures that you have had from your grandfather, your father, all generational.
Right.
And I think that truly is a gift that you have been given by fate. So wonderful. Now, Will, since retiring from NFL, you have started your journey in the world of wine. You've been studying wine. Would you say that wine is more than just memorizing name places, appellations, grape varieties? It's much more than that.
Oh, it's tremendous. It's literally a passport and a glass. It is literally, that's what it is. And the same reason why I fell in love and started studying wine and being curious about it was the exact same way I fell in love with football. It was never about, hey, I want to, you know, one day be in the NFL and make tons of money and do this. Of course, that would be outstanding. But I just love the true essence of the game. I love the art of football. I love all, like I mentioned, the stories and all that. And the same thing with wine. I thought it was super cool, like, to hear all these stories and learn about different places. You're really traveling. The more you, if you're studying a region, you're actually traveling to that region and you're knowing not just about the wine, but the terroir, you know, the soil, the people, the history, just so many things on why that place even decided to become a region, you know? So I think I love the layers of learning about stuff like that. So yeah, that's what really got me going and turned me on to it. Now, sure, you know, you'll see on some of my pages, I may post some first growths and, you know, some Napa Colts and all that. But at the end of the day, it's that's how it is. It's funny because somebody will come to me be like, hey, have you tried, you know, this wine? I'm like, no. They're like, what? You haven't heard of it? I'm like, okay, but where is it? You know? And they're like, oh, it's in Rutherford. And, you know, I'm like, well, I can tell you what it might taste like because I understand the Rutherford appellation. So, yeah.
Well, you know, it's often the question that many are asked, have you tried this? Do you know of that? Yeah, so welcome to the world of wine there.
I know. Well, I'm like, in Italy, there's like 3,000 varieties alone, you know? So it's
Now, you know, you mentioned your wine studies have revealed the world of geography to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, how would you rate the importance of learning a country's culture when learning, tasting, experiencing the wine and spirits of that country?
I think it's massive because then you understand why the food goes with the wine.
Precisely.
You know, prime example, let's say like Germany, right? A lot of high acid white wines that go well with, you know, you mentioned like the sausages or the, you know, different kind of flavors like that, that go well, the two acidic type of foods that go well with each other. Mm-hmm. So that, for example, right there is that right there. I was always taught, especially when it comes to like old world wines, is, you know, local wine, local food, local wine, local food. Like they go together hand in hand for a reason. So I think it's huge because you'll have a better understanding on why decisions are made the more you learn about a certain culture. And that right there for me is the most appealing. Then not only once you learn about it and then you actually go to the place, like that right there, now it's then it's not even about the juice anymore. it's not. And that's why I'm into this. Cause I'm like, yes, sure. Wine is the foundation. Wine is the conversation starter, but it is beyond just the fermented grape juice.
Oh, definitely. It is much more than that. It encompasses and it broadens and there's no limitations. And talking about that, you know, Will, you went to Sonoma Wine Business Institute to broaden your wine platform.
Yeah.
Now you've but you have created your own platform for other football players through the Blackman Football Academy. Now, with those experiences, what are your thoughts on the BIPOC movement relating to the world of wine?
Yeah, so so the Blackman Football Academy was more so for me to continue to give back and educate those who are pursuing football. Right. I'm like, well, I played 12 years, and it would be a disservice for me to not give back with all the knowledge I know, because no one taught me anything. I went through this myself, so it would be beneficial for me to do that. So that's why I created the Black Football Academy. Mm-hmm. Now, when I created the Wine MVP, it was to pretty much create my network, my social network in terms mm-hmm. of pro athletes, celebrities, and whoever wants to learn about wine with my wine network. I wanted to pretty much share my passion and its concierge service. But I knew that in order for me to elevate myself and be a better businessman, that it would have been super beneficial for me to take that wine business course at Sonoma State to really understand, because I really want this to work, because this is part two for me. This is not a hobby. This is not, you know, a pro athlete who's, you know, dabbling in the wine space, trying to have fun. This is, I would say, 99.9% of what I do. I'm in wine meetings all the time. I'm going through some legal meetings because we're going to launch a wine club soon. I leave tomorrow to host a private dinner in Vegas. This is all I do, Dr. Lee. So that's why, you know, taking these courses, getting these certifications is big to help me, because I did not grow up in a wine family, you know. So taking the WSET, you know, certificates, those are big for me. That's what really initially changed my mind. I was like, wow, this world wine is different. And then taking the Court of Masters level one, like, that was another one that was huge for me. And then, yeah. And so for me, how far am I going to go? Well, I do have my level three WSET exam coming up in May.
Okay. Good luck.
But thank you. But I'm going to go as long as time permits, because you really have to dedicate yourself to studying specifically for the exams. So, but I think those things have helped me tremendously to do that.
Yeah, certainly structured education. You know, the Asia Pacific Wine and Spirit Institute, we also have wine courses, and we are proud to say that we offer scholarships to the African American vintners. And and we also have an enormous amount of scholarships that we offer to Black, which is the equivalent of the South African group of Black Somaliers that they have. So, having come from an arena where cultures are so important, I am in total agreement with you. Now, you said this is part two. This is not just a whim. But
right.
My question is, why wine?
Well,
it could be anything, but why wine?
It could be anything, because I wanted to do something. I wanted to do something that was going to move me, okay. Right? The reason why, when it came to football, why I was willing to, you know, having injuries, I had 9 surgeries when I played, right? 9 different operations on my body. And for me to want to get up every time and, like, knowing the chances I can get hurt again, but I'm still willing to go for it and fight and claw and deal with all the political drama, all the physical drama, all these emotional drama, but still willing to get up every day and be excited to go play football. I was like, okay, I want to find something else like that, where I have that feeling. I love doing TV. Don't get me wrong. I love doing TV, but it's like, I don't know. I'm like, this has to be more to it. There has to be more in terms of the thrill and excitement. And crazy enough, wine is that for me.
Oh, it's infectious. I'm totally with
you. But it is that for me. It's so I had during 2020, there were probably a few months where business was not going well. Not really landing many clients. People are still trying to figure out what am I doing. They don't understand my process, or just so many things just weren't going well. And then sure, you have that period where you're like, maybe I should start looking at other stuff, you know. But something in me was like, just keep going, you know. And then all of a sudden I just kept going. I kept going, and then became like 3 months where things weren't going well, but I would still get up and be like, all right, you know, let's keep going for it. You know, I saw a quote that said, you know, giving up is easy, right? To give something up is easy. But to get up, give 100% and nothing happened. He said, then to get up the next day, give another 100% and nothing happened. Keep doing that. He said, that's the real grind. That's the real work. Because it's not an immediate return. You have to understand the process. That's the grind. And so when I felt that in the wine space, that's where I was like, all right, like I'm doing the right thing, because let's I had that feeling. Yeah. Okay. I had that feeling to get up and willing to go through the adversity for it.
You know, you mentioned about clients and you mentioned about moving it and mentioned, you know, people ask you questions, and I'm sure you've been asked this question, Will. What's the best wine, Will? How would you respond?
So I went to the wine symposium, the Unified Wine Symposium in Sacramento this year. Huh. And I was asked to speak on a panel.
Right.
But when I went to check in to get my badge, the person who handed me the badge, he was like, what's the best wine? I said, the best wine is the wine you currently like. That's the best wine. the wine you currently enjoy, the wine you like, that is the best wine. Because it's so subjective. Like everyone likes different things for different reasons, you know? So that's the best wine. So, but in truth be told, the best wine is champagne. So just like, you know.
Now, I'm sure you've had your fill, you know, during your career, you know, part one, and you're going to see even more in part two. Now, what advice would you give your fellow current and past NFL colleagues about wine now that you have reached that sort of level where you can see it from a different perspective?
I'm glad you said level, not pinnacle. I'm glad you said level.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You know, I've been studying wine for over 20 years and still learning every single day.
Yeah. And it's like a practice, like a doctor. Every year changes, right?
Every year it changes.
There's people new technology, change. There's new stuff, yes. There's new winemakers. There's so many different things. I tell people just to continue to be open-minded and listen, really listen, because you know, wine has this idea or the stigma of being snobby, you know, and there's only one way to learn about it. This is the only wine you should be drinking. Like there's so many restrictions and rules that people are afraid to enter this territory of wine because of that, you know. But I'm like, just be open-minded and listen and try everything. You never know. Just try everything. And it's really fun bringing wines home for my wife to try. My wife, she likes wine. She prefers to go to the vineyard. She's not big on like drinking a lot of wine and all that stuff, but she enjoys wine. And it was really cool to see the type of wine she likes. Like what does she like? She loves Left Bank Bordeaux. She loves Bordeaux blends from Paso Robles.
Okay.
He likes sweet Chenin. Like she's all over the map, all over the world rather. And so that's what's really cool. So I literally tell people just try everything and be open-minded and listen, because you just never know. There's so much to learn. The cool thing is, like, when you're trying these different wines, not only are you learning about different wines, but you're learning about yourself. You know, there's like, I train sometimes blind tasting with Master Sommelier Michael Jordan. And he was like, hey, what do you struggle with when it comes to blind tasting? I was like, I really struggle with high acidic white wines. Because they're all so close, but there's like different indicators that change them up, you know? Mm-hmm. So But during that process, I really got to grow and love and appreciate Gruner. I really love Gruner Veltliner. And so that was one of the things, you know, the indicator in there is the white pepper. For me, I get the white pepper and I'm like, boom, you know, green apple, high acid, you know, lemon straw. And I was like, boom, Gruner. So it's like that. And I'm speaking from experience. I'm trying so many different things and my palate's always changing and it's cool. So be open-minded.
I certainly would agree with you there, you know, talking about Gruner when I'm with students and you give them that Gruner Veltliner, the white peppery finish. You also get that with Gewürztraminer.
Exactly.
But the difference,
right,
is that lovely floral aspect.
Exactly.
And, you know, so the Gruner Veltliner could be said to be the lovely high heel shoe. But yes, the Gewürztraminer is the high heel shoe with a bit of a tattoo on the ankle.
a little bit of edge in that one, a little more edge.
A little bit of edge in that one.
Yeah. So, but that was it. It was us going with, we had Gruner, we had Sancerre, we had Gewürztraminer, and we had a dry Chenin, right? And so it was like navigating all those things in the indicator. So like Sancerre, I know like on the nose, you get a lot of that chalk, you know, that's the chalky notes there. So it was really learning all those indicators when it came to that. So yeah, that's, like you said, you've been studying for over, you know, two decades and constantly learning and growing and seeing different things. And that's just what it is. Just and because, but you are willing to embrace that. You're like, hey, it's always going to change and you are willing to embrace that. So whether you're 20 years, whether you're 20 minutes, just be open-minded and truly understand, appreciate it. But also, I will say this too. It all depends on too, like who you're learning it from, because somebody could ruin the experience for you.
Oh yes. Oh yes. Definitely. It's all within the hands of the wine gods. We'll leave it with that.
Yes.
Now, Will, you mentioned that, you know, you were very good to reporters and you wanted to be friendly. And sometimes they ask you ridiculous questions. Just what's one example of the most ridiculous question that has sort of been etched on your mind? You know, you wouldn't forget it.
My gosh. I don't know. I mean, I can't think off the top of my head of ridiculous, of like something that was crazy, but they would ask like tough questions, you know. Sure. If you've been beaten by an opponent, you know, they're going to ask you, what was that like? What happened on that play? And most people don't want to answer it. You know, they're like, oh, he won, and be really vague about it. Me, I'm like, look, I really did everything. I thought I had him, and he made a really good play. And then I would talk about my reaction and you know, it sucks to get beat, but it was, you know, I answered the question accordingly, because I look at it from their perspective too. I'm like, they probably really don't want to ask this question. They hoping that I don't give them a crazy tough answer or a vague answer. So it's just understanding both sides. And I use the same approach when I'm in the wine space too.
Yes.
In terms of, I am in this industry with no ego, period. I think I'm the ultimate team player. I think there's enough for everyone, especially, you know, any people trying to monetize and make money. There's enough money for anyone, for everyone. And I always look like, how can I help somebody else? When I do when I do tastings and stuff, I speak about my vulnerabilities first. I talk about like, look, I thought Burgundy was a brand. I didn't know it was a region.
You know? No, I remember that. I remember that interview. Yes.
Yeah. I thought, you know, I thought they put butter in the barrels. I didn't know about the oak aging and malolactic fermentation. Like, I know that stuff, you know? So people are like, oh yeah, I'm dealing with that right now. Oh, same thing. Like I would try my best to like know the wine menu before I go to a restaurant, and versus, let the sommelier do his job. He studied all those flashcards for this moment. Don't let me steal his thunder by telling him what I want. Ask him, what should I have with this meal? You know, it's all those things.
So what we found in the world, I think you and I will agree, it's a never-ending mystery that is revealed every single time we try a different wine. Now, there are characters, there are actors, there are players, and certain actions, certain movies define certain actors. So Tom Cruise might be Top Gun. Bruce Lee might be Enter the Dragon, right? Musicians, you know, like the Beatles, and their song, Let It Be. How do you want to be remembered, Will?
Oh my gosh. I want to be remembered as the ultimate service leader. Because I try to help everyone. I am always available. I love sharing my resources. So it's like that's me. It's the ultimate like just service leadership. Yes, that's the biggest thing. I was like I said, I was the ultimate team player. That's why I was able to play so long in the NFL because I was willing to put my pride down many times and understand the vision for the organization. And the same thing now. I'm not here thinking that I'm better than anybody else. I don't look down or I'm condescending to anyone. It's, you know, how can I help you? And that's it.
Well, I think the NFL has had their fair share of Will Blackman and his contribution to life, and you are hugely and openly welcomed into the world of wine.
Thank you
So
so
I
much.
hope one day that we will have the opportunity to enjoy a glass of wine and excellent conversation. You've been listening to Wine Buzz Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, then please leave a review or share it with a friend. Abwazi is an online wine and spirit institution dedicated to promoting culture and diversity through the world of education. If you're looking to get started, we have a free online course that we are giving out to all our listeners. For more information, head to apwasi.com. That's APWASI.com.